almost everyone I know in the world struggles every day to get through the day. I mean, we may have some lucky days where the struggle's not happening, and be grateful. And there are a lot of times in life where we are able to cut out the difficulty of being. And we have some really good days, all of us. But at the core, deep down underneath, we are all profoundly motivated by struggle. And that struggle is often incredibly hard to define. There are currents of energies that move below the surface that impact us. There are forces around us that impact us. Mostly forces beyond our control. In fact, pretty much everything is beyond our control. The only control, maybe, that we can exercise is what's known as how you respond to the forces inside you and around you. And we really aren't schooled in that. We aren't trained by our life experience in what to do in terms of meeting these strange underlying forces and these powerful outlying forces that keep working at us from these two directions. And most of our lives are efforts to just try to find a place of comfort. Where can I get to that I won't be assaulted? Where can I get to where I will just be free to be me, free to be myself, free to be at ease with this life experience? And if you look at your elementary school, high school, and university experience in terms of the knowledge base that's being brought to you, how much can you actually look at and say, ah, that's how you do it? I mean, we may have come across certain teachers, philosophers, people who were able to point us in certain directions, but you do not come across anyone who can take you there. Certainly you don't come across anyone who can do it for you, ever. You kind of want to believe when you're 3 years old that your parents can do it for you. And in a way, for a while they do. You know, when my granddaughter gets hurt, she runs to you and you hold her, or you kiss a wound, or you do something, and it alleviates the problem, the holding, the comfort, the embrace of the parent somehow allows for this profound trust in the universe to take over. And there's a quality of, I've been provided for. And then, as we all know, we grow up and mommies and daddies are no longer available to us. And often we will seek out a partner who will have that capacity, someone who can give us this. But there's another operating force at that point, which is there are two people who want that from each other. And sometimes in a very good relationship, the balance works. One who needs to husband or mother the other is available at a time when the other needs it. But often, both people are at the same place at the same time, and neither feel grateful to have another person wanting from them when they need. And so these conflicts start to happen in relationships. People who are not finding themselves in harmony with the world, who are feeling the pressures of outer life, the struggle of the inner life, and nowhere to go for solace, or nowhere that's certain. And that becomes a real issue in our lives and in our culture. This idea of, please help me. Please help me. Because there's not really anyone out there who can, or in many ways wants to, help you. And even if they could help you, even if they could give you, you know, $10,000 or, you know, a hug at the right moment or a good meal, whatever it might be, it's so temporary. The help you're looking for is something so much more than that embrace at that second. It's so much deeper. And everything is a patch. Everything is just a band-aid to help you get through. But what really takes care of you? What really gives you that huge solace of being? Well, this brings us to meditation. It brings us to a doorway that, if you can walk through it, can provide you with an embrace, a state of well-being, a state of you're okay. And it's kind of an okay that is, in a sense, what you felt when your parents hugged you when you're a child. It's the same basic experience, only no one's there doing it. It's happening within you. It's happening because you have gone into that place that your parents led you to, or that you discovered when they hugged you. You find there's a way back into that inner space that is a place of profound okayness. It's okay. Maybe better than okay. It's actually truly comforting. And that, it's something we all want, and yet most of us, most people that I meet, have no access to it. And even when you provide access, or the key, which I think is what I call meditation, a lot of people call it meditation. What it really is a doorway into a place where you can become comforted, nurtured, nourished, sustained, embraced, hugged, or whatever it is that the human psyche needs. It's available. It's available to each of us who is willing to sit still and ask for help. This idea that you can tough it out, that you can do it on your own, that somebody else can do it for you, that all you need is a prescription or a bottle of good whiskey, the idea that you can get it through those sources is very appealing and in some ways works for the moment. But this idea of going in, sitting still, penetrating these very obscure spaces that are not really that obscure, but you can't locate them on a map exactly, even biologically, even looking at the body, where do you find the entry points to these spaces? But if you sit down in the metaphysical arena that emerges from the physical, in these very supernatural parts of your natural being, you find portals, openings into the thing you most need to get you through the day, the days, the months, the years in your life. What comforts you as a child won't work as an adult. It might for a moment. If you go to your mom and dad when you're 40 and you're unhappy, it's unlikely they will cradle you in their arms. It may happen. I know in certain instances in my own life that did happen, and it was really helpful. I remember some really difficult moments in my life, and my mother just took me and hugged me, and it just made things better. It was just unbelievably wonderful. But there's a word that comes to define the process that we're involved in, and it's a really important word. And it kind of escapes people in a way because it's hard to understand often how to handle it, but the word is deeper. Often going back to the source of what worked for you before doesn't work for you now. You need to go deeper. Rudy used that word all the time. You have to dig deeper to find this thing that comforts you. They don't let it remain easy. I wish I could say it did. I can tell you when you go into a certain place in your spiritual, in your inner life, and it comforts you, 10 years down the road, it's not the comfort you need. It's something greater. It's something more profound. As you start to really begin to grapple with what I will call existential truth, existential reality, you can't just go below the surface and get embraced by the life and the world and the universe and your inner being. You're dealing with hurts that are too great, struggles that are too profound, pain that is beyond anything you have known before. You can't get a little, oh, it's okay, and be satisfied. You can't go into these really potent hurts and have a little stroke on the back or, you know, comforting on your forehead. You need more than that. You need a whole other level of comfort and sustenance. And the only way to get it is to ask more deeply, to dive more deeply into the psyche, into yourself, and ultimately to be able to reach for something that is much bigger than the solace that you used to get from a tiny little pat on the back. The drama of aging, the drama of living life, is that it is so powerfully difficult. It becomes so brutal for so many people. And I see it all around me. And a kindness from another person is a good thing. A kindness from your own inner psyche is a good thing. But you need something greater. The reservoirs, the deep reservoirs of sustenance that you're looking for can only be gotten through enormous drilling, if you will, into the core of existence. You have to really reach for this thing to come through and take you, if you will. You can't just step off into it and feel like, ah, I'm there, I'm fine again. It's bigger than that. It becomes Rudy called it muscle. He called it spiritual muscle. You have to develop a muscle that can work through all of the density of your own inner resistance, the density of your fear and pain at certain moments in your life. And trust me, as you get older, these pains and these difficulties will become more entrenched and more established. And everything that worked for you up to now will not work. And now a whole other level of work is required from us. A whole intense dynamic of reaching for this vastness of being that ultimately cares for us beyond anything we can imagine. When my own awakening took place, and the Bruce Rubin that I knew and loved, or didn't love, fell away, there was a sense of enormous liberation, enormous release, freedom, kind of everything you hope for on some level, only it wasn't mine. There was just this vast universal being that I was. And there was something in me that felt I have arrived, or there's arrival has happened. That it wasn't me that arrived, but something had taken place that was in a sense the result of years of digging, of years of going deeper, of effortful energy, of trying to build a ship that would float, of trying to become a vessel that wouldn't leak, of trying to arrive at something. And finally, somehow, that arrival took place, and what I arrived at was myself. And myself was the self. And the self was vast. In a way, it was everything. Everything that awareness could contemplate. And someone said to me at that moment, and it was profound, they said, yeah, but you're still there. You're still this. Whatever vastness of awareness has arrived, you're still this. And what that meant to me at that moment was I'm still somehow in a body, and I'm still in a mind, and I'm still, in a way, in a Bruce form. The more I worked with that over the last 4 years, the more I began to understand that I'm still this implied as well the sky, the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, the vastness of being. That manifested form was what I am. And really what we all are. Everyone is that. But we all feel, in a sense, totally separate from that. And the realization that occurs spiritually is there's no separation. That you are the sunrise and you are the sunset. You are the vastness of the heavens and you are the molecular density of yourself, of your being. You're all of that. But what doesn't go away in that is the brute force of life. The fact that your body still is capable of enormous suffering. That your mind, that which defined you, still is connected to all that there is. And all of that there is has thunderstorms and hurricanes and beautiful sunsets and starry nights. It's all of that. That's what you are. But at the core of that is this very sensitive, feeling entity. And that entity has something remarkable happening in it, and that is feeling. It feels. And that feeling still has a sense of being one with who you were, in a sense, with your old body mind, but it's also something more abstract than that. It's that this incredible being of existence has created this field of feeling. And the most potent thing that comes in that field of feeling, the most extraordinary manifestation that arises out of feeling, is love. Love. And it dawned on me just the other day how unbelievably remarkable it is that out of the brute force of nature and manifestation of all forms, of the creation of planetary rock and solidness, of oceans, of star fields, out of the creation of matter, out of the creation of bestial entities, out of reptilian organisms, out of all of that, there's love. And there's a huge mystery in my mind about how that happened, how this love came out of this unbelievable journey, this unbelievable journey that mostly made matter, rocks. I mean, for so long, as far as we know, that's all it made, was things. And then I don't know how we happened exactly, but then there we are. And then there we are with this complicated realm of emotion and feelings more than anybody can bear on some level. It can become so dark and so elevated and ethereal. And we are that realm. That's who we are. And we are at the essence of that, loving beings. It's so miraculous to me that love happened. It's so miraculous to me that love exists. But at the same time that it exists, huge, horrible, unbearable suffering exists. And that suffering seems to be a huge part of the realm of being. Suffering is part of the pain of feeling. Because we can feel pain, we can feel joy. Because we suffer, we can feel elation. They are part of the same entity, the same element. And there's this extraordinary dynamic that plays out in the field of our body, of our being, of our world that we are, that is centered on this sense of just that. It's sort of breath. It has a lot to do with breath. It has a lot to do with the satisfaction of breath. It's really crucial. It's really central. And out of that breath arises this fear of no breath. Out of this breath of life, we walk around endlessly aware of how easy it is to lose that. The biggest fear, the biggest suffering we go through comes at not breathing. There's other pains that we are inflicted with in human life that are impossible to think about. But they come about. They come about. And so there happens to arise in all of this an extraordinary question mark. Why? Why? Why is this suffering here? Why is this love here? Why am I this field of feeling? Why do I have such profound, elevated moments of beauty and such terror of not being, of annihilation, let's say, or of the suffering that leads to annihilation? And this is a question that nobody can answer for you. This is a question, it doesn't matter how many theologians or philosophers give us the answer, it's just an answer from them. The only one that will matter is the one you find for yourself. That's where it goes. It goes down to you getting it, you figuring it out. And you are going to have to figure it out at some point, because at some point, this is taken away from you. It will happen, guaranteed. And at some point, you have to deal with these profound issues, these existential issues. What is this? Why is this? How is this? Where did it come from? Why is it happening? Huge, huge issues. And the great philosophers of life have given us answers to that, the great teachers of life, but they're the answers that they came to. And yes, you can buy into their answers, which is fine, but it takes an enormous amount of trust and faith to follow somebody else's path. And in the end, you're going to have questions and doubts, because everybody does. And in the end, the only answers that will matter are your answers, nobody else's answers, nobody else's. And how do you get those answers? Well, one, by asking the questions. Most people I know don't ever ask the question. They don't ask about anything. They just buy into some philosophical idea or religious idea of what this all is and leave it at that. But, and that may be okay. I can't honestly say that's not okay. But my experience is, it's your own journey. It's your own voyage into the discovery that's possible in this lifetime to really dig deep below the surface of being and discover these unexpected realms of awareness, these unexpected ways of knowing. And that allows you to know as only you can know, to have a dialogue with the infinite, with the eternal, to be able to reach out into that space and have it address your needs and your concerns. If you have never asked for help, if you have never reached into those spaces, if you have never gone past wanting your mother to comfort you, you're going to have a hard journey. You need to begin to speak to yourself. You need to begin to speak with the force that brought all of this dynamic experience and feeling into play. You have to go on that trip. And all I can do is encourage you to do that. All I can do is work my own journey. And this journey is proving to be bigger than I ever imagined. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. And every time I think, aha, that's it, it goes away. And it's beyond that. It's beyond. And it's way beyond. And the forces of light and dark are playing out inside you. The forces of love and hate. The forces of beauty and horrid ugliness. It's all at play, and you are the field in which they are at play. What are you? Who are you? Why are you? And the answers are there. They're there. They are just deeply, 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 deeply embedded in the psyche, in the self. And as you really surrender more and more deeply, as you ask for help to surrender, as you open, as you allow presence to be and expand, answers arise. They're not always answers with words. Often, the only answer that comes up, and the one that comes up most importantly, I think, has no name exactly and no definitive form, but it feels like yes. That's what it feels like. It feels like yes. And there's a kind of component in that that you would call love. It's a spark of something that took 14 billion years or trillions of years to come into being. And it's in you. It's in you. You are the vessel that has this within it, that contains this vast, mysterious force. And you can give birth to it. You can ignite it. You can expand it. What happens really as you start to let go of your own fears about all of these forces within you, the mystery of them, the pain of them, the loss of things you love, things that go on inside the psyche, as you start to go deeper and deeper, there is this deep embrace, and this love, this precious commodity, starts to just open and open and open, and it carries you, and it allows you to be one with another. It allows you to be one with yourself. It allows you to be at home and at peace with being. But I will alert you, from my own experience, every time that happens and that stability of peace arises, something undercuts it. And this work doesn't end. It just keeps going. You need to go deeper. You need to, as Rudy would say, work harder. I don't know how there could be an end while you're still in a body. Rudy would say that too. You know, what's this enlightenment? You know, enlightenment while you're still in the body is temporary in a way. Yes, it's vast, and yes, it shows you life and death within the confines of this vast being, of this vast truth. But the body is still there. It's only when the body goes that whatever is waiting for you will reveal itself. But here we are on this journey. And one could ask, well, why do I have to do anything? Why don't I just go through my day and, you know, live it as like everybody else? Well, you can do that. Everybody can do that. You can just live your life and go through your day. And it tends to be a crapshoot of how it's going to work. You tend to be, as I've described it many times, a boat in the water without a rudder. You're just kind of, the seas are going like this and you're going like that. But if you take this meditation seriously, it puts the rudder in the water. It begins to create a navigational system. It begins to have a sense of where to go. It kind of has an awareness of a beacon out there calling you. It has a sense that there is something waiting, and you begin to move through this really choppy sea of existence with a kind of guide, a guide and a kind of purpose. And it's often not knowable in intellectual terms, but you know it, you feel it. You feel the power of it. It pulls you, it draws you, it makes you work harder. I could never explain to anybody in my early days of meditating why I would sit every day, and just sit there. People go, but you, why waste your time doing that? And I couldn't explain it, except I knew every time I sat, I knew where I was. I knew what I was. I knew that I was connected. I couldn't articulate it specifically, but I just knew this is where I belong. And I just felt that day by day by day as I went through my life. And 40 some years later, I feel this expanded attraction to something more remarkable than I ever dreamt it would be, that anything my mind could comprehend. I just was being guided to it. And I didn't get lost in the shoals of daily life, and I've watched so many people do that. Get washed up against the rocks and dry docked on the shore, and you know, and boats shattered along the way. Horrible things happen in life because people are not taking charge of their own journey. Somehow or another, that's wanted. We are responsible. Being responsible is part of the human equation. Taking charge of this dynamic force that we are, living within the experience of love and hate and emotion and fear and joy, all of that stuff, navigating through that stuff is amazing. and watching this larger awareness grow and seeing that your emotional life is somehow contained within something much bigger. And that if you surrender to that bigness, you can somehow manage all of these forces. You can just manage them. And you can just go, I don't have to go there. I don't have to relate to that. Or the love arises and you can go yes to that. But it involves two processes. One of them is becoming the self, and the other is knowing how to live with everything that is. And you find that, you learn that, spiritual development, meditative immersion in the psyche allows you to touch what I guess the word would be is divinity, that which is divine, that which is somehow beyond the physical, the metaphysical, beyond the natural, the supernatural, to touch that which is beyond matter, which is like spirit, that which out of the brute force of existence has created the tender and phenomenally powerful and brilliant luminosity of love. That's what you discover. And my guess is it's worth it. Even though it takes a lifetime of work and effort. The alternative, I could start a whole other talk, but the alternative is not where you want to go. This is an opportunity that you have been attracted to and you have found the doorway to. You've walked through that door. Keep walking because it's worth it. Be that love. Be that thing that stands out in the face of the brutality of existence. Be that thing that emanates in spite of pain and suffering and struggle. Be that thing, that tender tendril of love that emerges in the dark encasement of an acorn, in the dark underground of life, and rises and grows. And it may be the only answer there is. I mean, this cliche, and maybe all the philosophers you studied in college said everything I'm saying to you, but it's for you to know, not for you to read. It's for you to live and not to think about. It's to inhabit it, not to think about as an idea worth entertaining. This is something you live, it's something you are, and it's something that this work leads you to know. Okay. The sun's coming up. Pretty amazing. Any questions?
Do animals have the same capacity to follow this particular journey or not?
You know, I can only talk philosophically about that, without, because I'm not an animal right now, but when I'm around animals, I get a sense that they are on their way to this. I really can't tell you for sure what the evolutionary process is. Mm-hmm. I can give you an answer to that satisfies me, which is that there is a process of evolution. You know, I look at certain people in my life who are not very bright. And I look at them and I go, they are perfect reasons for me that reincarnation has to exist. Because you can't leave this life that stupid and be done with the human journey. You have to go, it goes on. There's something that goes on until there is this unfolding and this expansion and this increase of awareness that happens for people. And I don't think it happens easily in a single lifetime. You know, Blanche and I had a series of dogs, and some of them were just so bright, and they were so completely dog They had emotion, they had heart, they had fear, they had everything, but it was within the containment of a dog. They had a kind of lack of kind of mental awareness. You know, they weren't projecting the future, as far as I can tell. They were very much in the moment, but they could only go to a certain place. Human beings have all that and this other thing, this awareness of self, this ego sense, this ability to interact with the world in a much more profound way than an animal. And I feel like there are beings beyond us, or we become those beings. I mean, it's like so big, it's hard to walk around saying this is how it works. Not that people don't, but I don't know that we know that. But for yourself, inside, you begin to see a schematic that kind of plays out for you. And every time you think you have it, they kind of break it apart again. So you, in a way, you can't be definitive about anything. I was talking last week about certainty. I just can't trust certainty anymore, because nothing is certain for me. But the only truth I can present anymore is the truth I'm living for myself, which is valid for me, but not necessarily for you. So if I give you answers to your questions, it's like, okay, you can buy them on faith, I guess, but at some point you will be asking those same questions inside and trying to figure it out, because not out of curiosity, but because it's important. What does an animal feel? What is their relationship to the world? What is our relationship to them? What is this? What's going on here? I mean, that's, for me, the question. I always thought when I was in school, they gave me all the answers. This is the world, and this is, we come from, there was a Big Bang 14 billion years ago, and this happened, and that happened. I went, okay, check, 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 check. I get it. But of course you don't get it. What have you gotten? You've just got these little check marks in your brain somewhere that means you haven't explored it. You don't know. What happens when you start to really expand, when the you, ego, mind falls away, is it's all, that's all it's about, is this. And what is this? And there's a kind of part of you that knows what it is. There's a part of you that also can't figure it out at all for a moment, because it's not containable. It's not within the brain to know what anything is. You just are this. And again, I feel there's a hunger inside, one, to know it on some level, two, to be in awe of it, which I can't help but be, three, is to be grateful to have somehow had the awareness to be in it, for me to get to know you. Okay, look, that's like a big deal to me. You know, it's like, what is this? You know, there's two of us and we're so different on so many levels, had so many different experiences, and yet there is a line of communication that is transcendent. What is that? How did that happen? All of this, I mean, it's not speculative anymore. It's like essential. It's essential. Everything is essential. Everything touches you now, touches me, in a deeper way than it ever did before. It's more profound than it's ever been. It's more important than it's ever been, and I'm in it, and it's really powerful. I mean, life is not a casual experience for me anymore. It's a really full-bodied, full-minded, full experiential reality, and it's not stopping. That's what knocks me out. I keep thinking, aren't I done yet? No, I don't even know what done is. I don't even know how far it goes. I have no comprehension of that. And anybody who tells you, you know, I think people who lay it out in a certain way to tell you are just trying to give you some kind of momentary comfort. You know, this is how it is. Oh, thank God, that's how it is. Oh, when I get there, I'll be fine. What do you mean? What do you mean when you get there? And where is there? And how do you get there? And how is there other than here? All of these unbelievably powerful concepts that have to be embraced and dealt with, you know. You know, when I get to heaven, what, your mind can't even give you a billionth of a molecule of an idea of what heaven would be. There's no way to know that. We're much better with hell, because life is suffering, and we understand suffering. Bliss is such a momentary thing, but it's such a brilliant thing. If bliss exists, then what does that mean about life itself? What does it mean? It means everything. I mean, that's the thing I can't get over, that love happened. I mean, trust me, this week has been like, love happened, or is happening. It's not, it's not a fact. It's not, I mean, it's so much bigger than that. It's so overwhelmingly vital. And every one of us who feels love, even for a moment, is part of this creation of something that came out of brute force. How? Or was it there at the beginning? Was it there at the beginning? Did the universe explode out of love? Was it contained in the rocks and the water and the ocean and the amphibians and the lizards and the snakes? That would something's being transmitted. Something's being evolved here, you know. And we are it. And we're not even these bodies. We're not even this mind. We're not even the person we think we are. We're something so other. It's so remarkable. It's so remarkable. And I walk around and I look at people who haven't even begun to consider that. All they're worried about is who's going to win the game this weekend, whatever game they're worried about. And that's satisfying for many people. And it may, in fact, be enough, and what I'm going through is crazy. Why go through all this when all you have to worry about is who's going to win the game? You know, that may be just fine. And if it was just fine, it would be fine with me. But I have a feeling it's much bigger than that. And my experience is telling me that it's bigger than you can imagine. I know that's a long answer to your question. Anything else? I'm not trying to put you off from questions. I guess you all get so frightened he's going to talk for another hour.
So, yeah? Struggling to know it, whatever that larger self is it ultimately just surrendering to the mystery of it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Rather than struggling to know it in any kind of...
Yes, because knowing it makes you an it. And the thing you discover is there's no you, there's only it. So you can't know it exactly, not in the sense you're thinking, not in an intellectual dynamic. You know it because you're it. What does that mean? It's like, but you know, you're also in that body, and you have these hands that are working, and you know, eyes that see, and hair that grows, and you're that as well. Do you know it? What do you know of it? Nothing. It's like, what do we know of this thing that's going on here? We just take it for granted, you know? Oh, I've got a cold. What does that mean, you've got a cold? You know, or I'm losing my hearing. You know, so only when you lose it do you know what it was, even in a way. The what and the how is so remarkable, but it's beyond grasping. But there is a sense of, it comes at the core, at the very core essence of just knowing, I am that. That's all you, I am that. And that is beyond, beyond. And that's what you are. And when you touch that and you waft out into that and you really are that, it's like beyond the mind, beyond comprehension, and yet there. It's there. And you're that. I don't know what more to say about it. It's incomprehensible, but it's worth getting. I think it's worth getting to this place of being driven by it, being vibrantly in it, rather than being passively, unconsciously there. Mm. You're still there. You're still of it. You're still in it. You're still one with it. But to be like asleep in it, I don't know. It just doesn't work for me. And so I sit here trying to tell people, wake up. That's really all I'm saying. Wake up. It's worth it. I think it's worth it. It may not be worth it. You may find more than you want to know. You know. So in that regard, be prepared to get angry at me. Okay. But that's all I can teach. I can teach the journey that I'm on, that I think mimics the journey of a lot of teachers in the past, and that every one of us can be on that journey. In fact, is. I think every one of us is on that journey, and the fact that it mimics the journeys of teachers in the past, like Buddha, like Christ, like all of these great saints out there, why not be that? You are that. That's who you are becoming. And all they're doing is going on the ride that we're discussing here, and I'm just trying to give you little field notes from, you know, from the adventures that are happening to this particular being. You know? But we're all on it.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, I'll stop, guys. Thank you again. keep waiting for the time when nobody shows up anymore. But I'll keep sitting here and pushing this out until nobody wants to hear it. Thank you.